We cannot begin the story of Jesus without beginning with her. Imagine zooming in with a wide-angle view of the whole earth to the region of the Middle East, to a single frame of a Judean town in the hill country, and then to a moment where a pregnant teenager is moving with haste towards her kinsman's home. Mary, who was she, really? What does it mean that the gospel hails her as full of grace and blessed among the women? What was so special about Mary that her very presence made a baby inside another woman's womb jump for joy? Was Mary really the Madonna and child as the paintings portray her, the perfect woman with the perfect child? What if it turned out that Mary was more commonplace than all the mythology that had been built up around her? God once came through a burning bush. After all, not a majestic flaming cedar. Could it be that the glory of Christmas came through an ordinary person who was exceptional only in this, in her willingness to obey God's claim on her life? Mary was a poor peasant from an insignificant town in an unimportant province in the Roman Empire. A nobody, really. Yet she was the one that God was looking for. Imagine Mary sweeping the floor the day the messenger showed up, and a broom stopping mid-sweep as she freezes, her heart pounding as she squints into the shadows of the dark, cool stone house at a man decked out in white. As Eugene Peterson puts it in the Messenger paraphrase of Luke, "Good morning, you're beautiful with God's beauty, beautiful inside and out. God be with you." And at this, Mary, she's perplexed. Other translations read, she was disturbed. But how either translation reads is difficult to tell, whether she's troubled by the fact that there's a celestial being standing before her in her living room, or by what he says to her. For Gabriel says that she, Mary, is special, and that she has found God's favor. What does that mean? She might have wondered. Peterson's version of the angel's message continues, "Mary, you have nothing to fear. God has a surprise for you. You will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus. He will be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will rule Jacob's house forever, no end ever to his kingdom." Amidst all that stuff about the Son of God and greatness, I imagine what really stuck out in Mary's mind was the word pregnant. When a woman gets news of this life event, all the rest of the world fades around her as she tries to comprehend at what's happening all around her. So did Mary's mind go on a journey at that moment, dreaming forward to the future promises about the child, thinking back on all that she had learned about Yahweh growing up, and then returning to her engagement? What does this news mean for her father's daughter, Joseph's fiance, a young girl around the town? A baby? One of God? Hard to believe. Sounds absurd. It may have been crazy, but it was true. Like the other ancestors of faith, Sarah, Rebecca, Hannah, these were ordinary women, yet blessed beyond all expectation. And now Elizabeth, her cousin, who had been barren, pregnant as well? Without a window into the future of who her son would be, without the education of an older class, without the guarantee that any of this would turn out to be happy. Mary, entrust others to Gabriel the angel. I am the Lord's servant. Let it be to me according to your word. We cannot begin the story of Jesus without beginning with her, Mary. Gabriel called her favored. Elizabeth recognized her as blessed. Countless Christians have found inspiration in her story. In some ages, in some parts of the church today, Mary is yet declared to be sinless and perfect, spotless, and perpetually a virgin. And as I found myself imagining the gospel story from her perspective, I have been struck not by how flawless she is, but rather how ordinary she is in every way, save her deep capacity to trust in God. She was a regular girl, faced with an amazing situation, but she faced it with faith. As such, I believe her story is the story of the first disciple. She is the first one in a long line of those who, down through the ages, have heard the call of Christ, the call of God, upon their lives, and they simply responded, yes. Could it be, as with Mary, that ordinary people have never been God's backup plan, but God's primary plan of how God would enter into this world? Maybe then we can call Mary blessed, not because of her virginity or her humility, but because she was chosen by God. This is God's story, not hers, ultimately. And the greatest example for us is that she chose to be a part of God's story when she was invited. She chose to let God work through her. And so the glory of Christmas came about by the willingness of an ordinary woman who chose to obey God's claim on her life. Each of us, like Mary, in our own way, is chosen by God to bear Jesus into the world. So may we keep alert, even during the hustle and bustle of the holidays, to a moment when God just might show up in our living room, or in our church, or in our car, or on the street somewhere, or maybe even the shopping mall, and lay a claim on us, inviting us to enter into God's saving action for the sake of the entire world. I pray that we might be like Mary, full of grace, ordinary, and yet bold enough to do God's will. Thanks be to God. Amen.